I speak to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we celebrate St. Augustine, and we've transferred the day from tomorrow back to today. And we're also going to celebrate Monica. And I want to start there this morning. Augustine was a brat. He was a bad attitude little brat. And his mother, Monica, had it just about up to here. And she really didn't know what to do with him. No matter what she did, this brilliant, talented, capable, wonderful son wouldn't do anything she asked. Nothing. It got so bad that she felt like she was nagging him, and he agreed. So he secretly made a plan and disappeared, making sure she didn't know where he was. Well, you and I know that Augustine didn't know Mamas very well, did he? Within a short time of him disappearing to enjoy a successful life, she followed. And she followed in the urgency of hearing that he had joined a neo-Christian group and that he was wayward beyond her imagination. And so she followed. And one day there was a tap at the door, and there she stood on his front doorstep. And she talked and she talked and she talked and she talked and she talked. And eventually, between her voice and the power of the Holy Spirit, he was converted. And she witnessed his baptism in Milan in the year 387. It was time for her to go home, and he began the preparations for her return. Only in the midst of all of that, she died. Suddenly, in his arms. He decided that he would become a monk. He would spend the rest of his life with those in a small monastery where he didn't have to deal with the one thing that bothered him a little bit. People. Only those around him understood his gifts, his talents, and his ability, and they pulled him in. And they ordained him a presbyter and later a bishop. And his words and theological reflection and transformational leadership have literally changed theology for generations. And when he died in the year 430, he is forever commemorated and remembered today. Now, for those of you who love history, are just grateful that I got the dates right. But for those that want the connect, let me take you back a little bit. When Jesus is sitting with Simon Peter, there's a conversation about the future. Who will lead? It's a tough question in church life, even now. The list of criteria for who will become leaders in the church, lay or ordained, is just almost impossible. Some people say Jesus wouldn't measure up. And there Jesus sat, gently trying to select a leader for the future of the church. And there's a conversation about his identity. Who is he? Is he a prophet? Is he a teacher? And Simon Peter very clearly articulates, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And at that moment, Jesus knew that Simon had insight that doesn't come from the human mind. It doesn't come from talking with others. It's an insight that comes from above. He also knew that Simon Peter had incredible talents and abilities. And so he named him the Rock. Now, this is important because if you're studying the Greek, Petra means stone. Petros means Peter. And if you're studying the Aramaic, which most of them spoke, it was kethos, and that word means stone. a solid foundation for the future of the church is what Jesus speaks of. Now, theologically, this has been a bit of a problem. And it's been a bit of a problem because those who interpret this scripture see it in one of three ways. One, they see that Peter's faith is the rock. Now, Augustine, he saw it that Jesus was the rock of the faith. And still others see that the rock represents all of us as the body of Christ. And no matter how you see it, the bottom line is that Simon Peter was chosen as the cornerstone, the rock of the church, on behalf of Jesus, knowing what his own future would be. And that becomes relevant for you and I today as we try to live out who we are as the rocks of the church. And so I'm just going to refer to three extraordinary stories of amazing people. The first one's name is Carol. She lives in Cambridge, Ontario. She is a contemporary rock of the church. Carol, in her early years, stepped out into traffic. She thought she had looked both ways. And when the vehicle hit her, it struck her so hard that it threw her. And it's caused her chronic pain in her legs and in her back and in her neck. Sometimes her hands don't even work so well. And occasionally she forgets things, like her name. But she is a remarkable woman, a phenomenal person of faith. She believes so strongly in Jesus Christ that her marriage and her children are based on that faith, and you can feel it when you're sitting in her living room. And she began a series of projects with teenagers as her own children became teenagers, and one of the projects was a blanket project. She would take two pieces of flannel and have them tied on the outside. And she would ask for those to be blessed on a week-by-week basis and distributed to those who were sick, those who were in the hospital, those who were in nursing homes, and even to our military all over the world. Hundreds and hundreds of blankets. The teenagers would sit on alternate Sundays in youth group, and they would help make the blankets, and then they would bring them into church to be blessed. And Carol always stood back, but we all knew she was the rock of the project. Lived her faith as Augustine and as Peter did. A faith in action. And then, of course, there was Val. And Val was a really interesting person. Val I met in the small town of Burford. Don't blink. There's a bakery. Awesome donuts. Not that I would know. And Val lived in Burford. And she was one of those wonderfully talented, capable people. But her story was amazing because as a small child, she was so ill that she walked with braces on both legs for the first 30 years of her life. They handed her her first set at 3 years of age. She walked. Every step hurt. Surgery after surgery on her legs and her spine caused more complications. Her illnesses spiraled into a time when she can barely remember years of her life. And yet her faith was so strong that she woke up every morning and gave thanks that she could breathe. One day she came to me in this little tiny church in Burford. She said, "I'd like to do something for Christmas." She said, "When I was a little girl, my mom gave me a teddy bear, and I've still got it." I said, "Barry, how long is that?" She said, "I'm 73, no more questions." She said, "I would like to give every single child that's at Sick Kids Hospital, that's struggling at home, that's dealing with a learning disability, every single child that's feeling lonely and confused and uncertain of the future, I would like to give every single one of them a teddy bear." I said, "That's a lot of money, Val." She said, Let's do a media blitz. Let's go to the newspaper and radio stations and announce that we're going to do it. I said, you're going to announce that you're going to present teddy bears to every single child in the county that needs one. She said, yes, Stephen, have a little faith. And we announced it. And the teddy bears began to arrive by the garbage bag load. 1,000 teddy bears arrived in 6 days. And she washed them all. She pressed little bows. And the bow said, Jesus loves you. And then we began to distribute these teddy bears. And by the time we got to Christmas, she called me over to her house. She said, we have a problem. She walked me down the hallway into the spare bedroom, and the entire bedroom was filled with teddy bears. For 3 years, we did the teddy bear project, thanks to Val and her faith that took her scars and made them into stars. As Robert Schuller would say. She believed with all of her heart that life could be transformed by a faith that knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Lord and Savior of the world. My last illustration this morning is a guy by the name of John. I met him for the first time. I was doing an Advent service in Paris, Ontario. You can blink twice there. And he attended an Advent service, and on the way out, he looked at me and he said, that was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. I was in shock until his wife grabbed his arm and said, John, what was that? I meant it. And out he went. So I immediately booked a visitation. I shook in the driveway. I walked in and I sat down with him and we began to have a conversation. At the end of the conversation, he looked at me and he said, you have no idea who I am, do you? I said, no. I couldn't even swallow. He told me that he was the vice president of an international company. And I could tell he was probably right, because I got lost on my way to the bathroom in his house. And I got lost on the way back. He was sincere and warm and kind and gentle. We were on our way into a building project. He said, I've been involved in 4 building projects before I came here with churches. Would you like a hand? I said, He said, breathe, son. I said, I can't believe somebody like you has been sent into our lives for this extraordinary purpose. And he looked at me and he said, it's all about faith, son. It's all about faith. So tell me what you need so I can give it to you. Tell me what time, energy, talents, and gifts you need, and I can give it to you for the glory of God. That we can work together. You see, here's what I believe, and I'm just going to wrap it up like this today, because if I go much further, the reality is that a number of us get a little uncomfortable because you know I'm coming to see you. There are rocks in this room. There are people who know Jesus is Lord and Savior. There are people who know that by faith we can do anything together. There are people in this room that knows that the body of Christ is capable of extraordinary and amazing things. You see, that's what Jesus was looking for in Peter's face. Just that eye contact that would say, I believe what you believe, and together we believe what can be done. I once had a warden, and by the time she was done warden, I was pretty sure she was quitting the church, and I was sure because she told me. And I said to her, What ministry do you love? She said, I don't have a lot of money. I said, I didn't ask that. I asked what ministry you loved. She said, I am not going on any of your committees. I said, I didn't ask that. She said, I am never, ever, ever going on that board again. I didn't ask that. She said, what do you want? I said, I want to know what you love to do in ministry. What connects you with Jesus? She said, I love to work with material. I said, really, why don't you do that? She said, I've watched you. You could use some new stuff. I said, why don't you pray and sew? And when she was done, the power of the Holy Spirit moved through her, and she walked into my study, and she handed me this, and she said, no committees. Here's the request. This week, I want you to begin to think about what you love to do. What gives you joy? What gives you hope? What gives you peace? What reminds you that Jesus is Lord? And do that, whatever that is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.